If you have your Bibles, kindly turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 40. Hebrews 11, 32 to 40. For those of you who are here for the first time, maybe you are wondering why I took off or I take off my face mask. Please understand that it's very, very difficult for us as preachers or even as song leaders to preach or sing with face mask on. There were times that during the time that we had our three services, first, second, and third service, I preached for the third. And what happened when I reached home, I had headache because I needed oxygen. So this is like trapping the oxygen that should go into my lungs. So please understand that it's very difficult for us to breathe when we have our face mask. Anyway, I'm far from you and you are far from me. So I think it's safe, all right? And I really want to thank God that I think yesterday or 2 days ago, Mayor Ternias had already announced that we are now on level 1. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. And actually, we are already allowed for 100% capacity. Okay? But I believe that when Pastor Tony, Pastor Lily comes back, they will decide on it. And it is still, for me, it is still safer if it is like this. But if we can invite more people, then praise the Lord. All right? So our limitations has been, you know, decreased and we can do more things now. All right? But once again, always be careful. Always be careful. Protect yourself. All right? COVID is still there. Anyway, God is always here. Hebrews 11, 32 to 40. You got a Bible now? And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet, none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God bless the reading of this word. Let's pray. Father, I ask, Lord, that you just lift up our spirits and our hearts and our faith today. God, we need to believe you. We need to believe you despite everything. And I pray that, Lord, you anoint me as I share your word and anoint your people in Jesus' name. Amen. This catalog of exploits was given to remind us of God's incredible blessings on the faith of Old Testament believers. Heroes were listed, such as Gideon and Samson in Hebrews 11:32. Accomplishments such as military success and miraculous survival were also given in Hebrews 11:33-34. And its general idea is that God rewards through faith, which means trust. Prior verses mentioned Samuel and the prophets, and the miracle of resurrection occurred in the ministries of two of the Old Testament's greatest prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Both were credited for raising a dead person back to life. Elijah did so for a widow's son in 1 Kings 17, and Elisha for a Shunammite woman's child in 2 Kings 4. This represents the ultimate victory, a conquering of death itself. This verse also transitions into a list which is less positive but equally important. The purpose of this entire letter has been to encourage persecuted Christians to hold fast to their faith. Are you persecuted today? Is your family persecuting you? After describing the faithful, trusting, and steadfast examples of heroes of the Old Testament, the writer of Hebrews reminds us of what those earlier believers had to endure in order to achieve those results. The point here is that God was faithful to these believers, and they trusted Him despite their suffering. And since they were able to endure, we have all the more reasons to believe, and we ought to be faithful as well. Today, I would like to share on the grace of faith. The grace of faith. And I have 3 points to give you today. First is the records and exploits of faith. Secondly, the endurance of faith. And thirdly, the grace of faith, or the experience of the grace of faith. The writer of Hebrews finds that there are more examples of victorious and enduring faith that he can list. But he selects certain people and achievements from the books of Judges, Samuel, Kings, and Daniel to remind us of the triumph of faith. People suffered terrible tragedies, extreme hardships, and cruel tortures, but they held on in faith. They refused to give in to their persecutors or to forsake their trust in God. So let us go to my first point today, the records and exploits of faith. Let's go to the records of faith. The first on the record here that we have read is Gideon, whose story is found in Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Who is Gideon? I think we are quite familiar with Gideon. He was an eminent instrument God raised up to deliver His people from the oppression of the Midianites. I think Pastor Tony shared about that. Gideon was a person of mean tribe and family, called from a mean employment, which was threshing wheat, and saluted by an angel of God in this surprising manner: "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of war." But what happened? Gideon could not at first receive such honors, like he was called a mighty man of war, but humbly disagrees with the angel about their low and distressed state. He was shocked. How can you call me a man of war when we are so low and we are distressed? The angel of the Lord delivers him his commission and assures him of success, confirming the assurance by fire out of the rock. Gideon directed to offer sacrifices, and instructed in his duty, goes forth against the Midianites when his army is reduced from 32,000 to 300. Yet, by this, with their lamps and pitchers, God put the whole army of the Midianites to confusion and ruin. And the same faith that gave Gideon so much courage and honor enabled him to act with great meekness and modesty towards his brethren afterwards. It is the excellency of faith that, while it helps men to do great things, it keeps them from having a high and great thoughts of themselves. People of faith do great things, but they keep themselves low. Second on the record here is Barak. He was an instrument raised up to deliver Israel out of the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, in Judges 4. Even though he was a soldier, yet he received his commission and instructions from Deborah, a prophetess of the Lord. He obtained a great victory by his faith over all the host of Sisera, His faith taught him to return all the praise and glory to God. This is the nature of faith. It has recourse unto God in all dangers and difficulties, and then makes grateful returns to God for all mercies and deliverance. The third on the record is Samson. Samson was an instrument that God raised to deliver Israel from the Philistines. His story is in Judges chapter 13. And from it, we learn that the grace of faith is the strength of the soul for service. If Samson had not had a strong faith as well as a strong arm, he had never performed such exploits. By faith, the servants of God shall overcome even the roaring lion. True faith is acknowledged and accepted even when mingled with many failings. Samson was one of the men of one of the judges who failed many times. But true faith is acknowledged and accepted. It is acknowledged that he had faith. The believer's faith endures to the end, and in dying gives him victory over death and all his deadly enemies. His greatest conquest he gains by dying. The Bible tells us that Samson slew, during his death, he slew more than when he was alive and strong. The fourth on the record is Jephthah, whose story we have in Judges 11, before that of Samson. He was raised up to deliver Israel from the Ammonites. As various and new enemies rise up against the people of God, various and new deliverers are raised up for them. In the story of Jephthah, we can find here, the grace of God often finds out and fastens upon the most undeserving and ill-deserving persons to do great things for them and by them. Do you know who is Jephthah? Jephthah was the son of a harlot, a son of a prostitute who did wonders, who did great things for God. Faith, wherever it is, will put men acknowledging God in all their ways. As Jephthah rehearsed all his words before the Lord in Mizpeh, faith will make men bold and venturous in a good cause. The fifth on the record is David. That this great man after God's own heart, few ever met with the greater trials, and few ever discovered a more lively faith. David's first appearance on the stage of the world was a great evidence of his faith. When young, having slain the lion and the bear, his faith in God encouraged him to encounter the greater Goliath and helped him to triumph over him. The same faith enabled him to bear patiently the ungrateful malice of Saul and his favorites, and to wait till God should put him into possession or an even position of the promised power and dignity. The same faith made him a very successful and victorious prince. And after a long time of virtue and honor, he died in faith, relying upon the everlasting covenant that God had made with him. Sixth on the record is Samuel. Samuel was raised up to be a most eminent prophet of the Lord to Israel, as well as ruler over them. God revealed himself to Samuel when he was but a child, and continued to do so until his death. Through this story, what we can get through this story, those who exercise faith early are those who likely to grow up to some eminence. It means eminence means fame or recognized superiority. When you grow in faith, it's like Samuel, who continued to serve God even until his death. And those whose business it also reminds us that those whose business is to reveal the mind and will of God to others had need to be well established in the belief of it themselves. This speaks to us as leaders, as workers of the church. If you want to reveal the Word, the mind of God to people, you must first know what is the mind and the Word of God yourself. Because what your input will be your output. Whatever you take in, that you will bring out. If you bring the world in, you will bring the world out. If you bring God in, you will bring God out. So let us be careful. This may speak about being worldly or doing something which is not in the delight of God. Remember this. A guy told me, this man told me, your input will be your output. Whatever you take in, that you will also bring out. Next, the exploits of faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:33-35, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, probably referring to Daniel. They quenched the violence of fire, probably referring to the three Hebrew children delivered from the fiery furnace. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight, and they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. This first section is much powerful, positive kind of reaction and responses to their faith. These are the positive sides to faith. What are they? Number one, by faith they subdued kingdoms. Thus David did, Joshua, and many of the judges. Please remember that the interests and powers of kings and kingdoms of this world are often set up in opposition to God. They are often set up in opposition to God. Do you notice it today? People are already imposing laws. Laws which are against the Word of God. Which are against God and His people. But God can easily subdue all those kings and kingdoms that set themselves to oppose Him. Faith then is a suitable and excellent qualification of those who fight in the ways of the Lord. It makes them just bold and wise. If you want to fight for God, if you want to be a warrior for God, you must have faith. Secondly, second positive side of faith is they wrought righteousness both in their public and personal activities. They turned many from idolatry to the ways of righteousness. They believed God, and was imputed to them for righteousness. They walked and acted righteously towards God and men. What can we learn here? It is a greater honor and happiness to work for righteousness than to work miracles. You know that many people today, they run after signs and wonders. They hop from church to church looking for miracles to happen. But I just want to tell you, just want to encourage you, look for a church that teach the ways of righteousness. Hello, are you there? Find a church that teaches you the ways of righteousness. Not just a church that performs miracles, because Satan can also perform miracles, but Satan is never righteous. Faith is an active principle of universal righteousness. Thirdly, they obtain promises, both general and special. It is faith that gives us an interest in the promises. When you see the promises of God, when you have faith, you become very interested. It is faith that we have the comfort of the promises. And it is faith that we are prepared to wait for the promises and in due time to receive them. Fourth positive side is they stopped the mouths of lions. So did Samson in Judges, David in 1 Samuel, and Daniel in Daniel 6. What do we learn from these people? The power of God is above the power of the creature. We are all creations. We are all creatures. The power of God is above anyone, any threat of humans against you. And faith engages the power of God for His people whenever it shall be for His glory to overcome brute beasts and brutish men. Faith will help you overcome whatever attacks are made against you. Fifth positive side is they quench the violence of the fire. Hebrews 11:34. Moses, by the prayer of faith, quenched the fire of God's wrath that was kindled against the people of Israel in Numbers 11. So did the three children, or rather mighty champions in Daniel chapter 3. These children, these three Hebrew men, their faith in God, refusing to worship the golden image, exposed them to the fiery furnace which Nebuchadnezzar had prepared for them. And their faith engaged for them that power and presence of God in the furnace, which quenched the violence of the fire. So that not so much as the smell thereof passed on them. Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the furnace, and they heated up 7 times. 3 were thrown, and when Nebuchadnezzar looked inside, there were 4. There were 4, because God was with them in that furnace. They had faith. They said, even if God does not deliver me, we will still trust God. Is your faith like that? Maybe you have faced a problem today, an obstacle today, and it seems that the answer is so slow. Maybe it was not answered. But will you still trust God, even if He does not deliver you? Next, they escaped the edge of the sword. David escaped the sword of Goliath and Saul. And Mordecai and the Jews escaped the sword of Haman. The swords of men are held in the hand of God. God is still in control of everything, and He can blunt the edge of the sword and turn it away from His people against their enemies when He pleases. Faith then takes hold of the hand of God, which has hold of the swords of men. And God has often suffered Himself to be prevailed upon by faith of His people. No one can control God, but your faith may. Your faith may control His hand. 7, out of weaknesses they were made strong. From national weakness, into which the Jews often fell by their unbelief, upon the revival of their faith, all their interests and affairs revived and flourished. From bodily weakness, thus Hezekiah, believing the word of God, recovered out of a mortal distemper, and he ascribed his recovery to the promise and power of God. What shall we say? God has spoken it, and He has also done it. By these things men live, and in these things there is life for our spirit. And it is the same grace of faith that from spiritual weakness helps men to recover and renew their strength. 8. They grew valiant in fight. So did Joshua, the judges, and David. True faith gives truest courage and patience as it discerns the strength of God and thereby the weakness of all His enemies. That's what faith can do. You can discern the strength of God and even the weakness of your enemies. And they were not only valiant, but successful. God has God as a reward and encouragement of their faith. put to flight the armies of the aliens, of those who were aliens to their country and enemies to their religion. God made them flee and fall before His faithful servants, believing and praying commanders at the head of believing and praying armies have been so owned and honored of God that nothing could stand before them. Number 9, women received their raised to life again. So did the widows of Zarephath, done by Elijah, and the Shunammite, which was done by Elisha. What can we learn from here? There was death, but those dead children were raised to life. In Christ, there is neither male nor female. And many of the weaker sex have been strong in faith. Just look at this church. How many of us are female? How many are ladies? How many are women? Compared to some or maybe a few guys here in the church. God is not a respecter of person. You cannot say that just because you are a woman, you cannot do anything. No. There is neither male nor female in Christ. Though the covenant of grace takes in the children of believers, yet it leaves them subject to natural death. It shows here in the children of the widows. Their children also died. But God has sometimes yielded so far to the tender affections of sorrowful women as to restore their children to life again. Just like Jesus Christ, when He saw that woman, that widow, crying over her dead son, Jesus came to her and raised her dead son to life again. It is amazing to see things done through the faith of these heroes. So amazing! And so like them who conquered and wrought righteousness, faith helps us to do exploits and make the record of being witnesses of God's greatness. By faith, we can be like them. We can be God's witnesses and we can do exploits. But how about when we are in the midst of rough and painful times? It's so great. We can see God's greatness done through these men of faith. But how about in their darkest moments for us? We would like to, our faith always increase when there are blessings, when there are goodness. But when there are rough times and painful times or troubled times, our faiths are affected. And during this time, you need my second point, the endurance of faith. The endurance of faith. The man of faith can also know defeat and discouragement. When you have faith, it's not always high. When you have faith, you must also know defeat and discouragement. Being a man of faith does not mean that you are always going to have healing. And you are always going to have victory. And being a man of faith does not mean that you are always going to drive a BMW. Just because you have faith, it does not mean that you can have everything. Having faith does not mean you are not going to have any trouble. Because it says in Hebrews 11:35, still in our key text, others were tortured not accepting deliverance. Who are these others? They were the heroes of faith. They were people of faith. And they were tortured. And they did not accept deliverance. Their faith caused them to make their stand firm for God, and they were tortured for their faith. We are thankful today. We are thankful here in the Philippines because we are not tortured because of our faith. For many believers, torture is not a way to discourage them or to bring them away from the presence of God. Give them pleasure. Huh? Give pleasure to many believers and they will turn their back from God. So torture. They were tortured. It is possible for a person to be victorious over the enemy, to wax valiant in battle, to subdue the aliens, but it is also possible for the man of faith to be tortured for his faith. God does not always deliver those who believe and trust in Him. We must not think of God nga, if I trust Him, He will surely deliver me. This is the fallacy of this faith teaching today. Some churches teach you that when you have faith, nothing will happen to you. Then, why one day you will die? Why do you fall sick? That is the fallacy. That is a false teaching. It looks, because this teaching looks only at the first half of the list where they do wonders, they do great things, and ignores the second half of the list here in Hebrews that they were tortured and they suffered for their faith. Through faith, they believe to the point of not accepting deliverance. When you are tortured because of your faith in Christ or your faith in God, are you evil? Are you lost? Let's pray that this will not happen to us, that a blade or a sword is put on our neck, asking us or forcing us to deny our Christ. And if a sword is on your neck and you said, I will not deny my Christ, I have faith in Christ, and they killed you, is your faith in vain? Are you faithless? No. You died for your faith. And that's what happened to our Bible heroes here. They became heroes because they died for their faith. They became heroes of faith, not only because they did so much great things, but they died through their faith. They believed to the point of not accepting deliverance. They were tortured. Tortured means torture or suffering upon the tympanum. What's this tympanum? Tympanum was an instrument of torture in the shape of a large drum or wheel on which criminals were stretched in order to be beaten to death with sticks and rods. That's how they torture you. They stretch you until all your arms are torn apart, all your bones are broken. The Bible tells us clearly that they were tortured, not accepting deliverance. You know, sometimes for some Christians, just a little problem only, they will give up their faith. But not for these Hebrew believers. They were put upon the rack to make them renounce their God, their Savior, and their religion. And you know what? Their enemies offered to save them from torture. Do you want to be saved? Just do this. They were offered, but they would not compromise their faith. They would not sacrifice their faith at the price of apostasy. They accepted the truth of God's word as more important than their own lives. Their orientation was to something far greater than their personal desires. They believe that there is something much better than what is happening now. That's why they kept their faith on. They endured trials of cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonments also. They were persecuted in their reputation by mockings, which are cruel to an ingenious mind. In their persons by scourging, the punishment of slaves. Only slaves were scourged. In their liberty by bonds and imprisonment. Last week, Pastor Sheila of Barbasa texted us, informing us that, "Pastor, please include us in your prayer because our neighbor always hate us. It's like they want the church to close down. They don't like to hear the drums. They hate the music. And they even invited 5 more of their relatives to rally against the church. And now they imposed this law in the barangay that before this Barbasa church does an activity, they must ask permission from the barangay. It is a persecution. And they even shouted at Pastor Sheila, shouted at the members. That is a persecution. I also remember when we were still in Quezon that we were always stopped to play the drums. They hate to hear the beating of the drums. And a few times, the owner of the building beside us will go to our office. She will rush to the office and just demand things from us. That shows her hatred towards God. Maybe she does it like in the form of a music. She said, your music is so noisy. But many times it was not noisy. It was just an insult or mocking from her side against the church. The Word of God tells us, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Third, what happened to them? They were put to death. In the most cruel manner, some were stoned. Like Zechariah in 2 Chronicles, he was sawn asunder. He was stoned to death. And like Isaiah the prophet, he was sawn asunder. He was sawn. Ginlagari, ginutod. He was cut by Manasseh, the king of Israel. They were tempted. Or some read it, burned. They were burned to death. Next, they were slain with the sword. All sorts of death were prepared for them. Their enemies clothed death in all the array of cruelty and terror, and yet they boldly met death and endured it. Their enemies spared some, did not kill some directly, only to prolong their misery and wear out all their patience. For they were forced to wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They wandered about in deserts and on mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They were stripped of the conveniences of life and turned out of house and harbor. They had no raiment to put on, but were forced to cover themselves with the skins of slain beasts. They were driven out of all human society and forced to converse with the beasts of the field, to hide themselves in dens and caves and make their complaint to rocks and rivers, no more obstinate than their enemies. Such sufferings as this they endured then for their faith. And such they endured through the power of the grace of faith. Brothers and sisters, threats of dangers and death came upon many believers according to the book of Hebrews. Believers of today are facing or will be facing threats of terminal diseases or sicknesses or even loss of life, loss of jobs, loss of everything. Some of you may feel that the world is crumbling on you right now. You feel the pressure of life and you struggle to survive. You know, I was following the news on the radio, And they are talking about this corruption that is happening in the Department of Foreign Affairs. When you want to renew your passport, you cannot get an online schedule. You cannot get a schedule online because they are fully booked. One of the guys who wanted to process his passport, tried to check, you know, he tried online. But he said, if I follow online, it will take me 7 months to renew my passport. This corruption is really happening. It makes it difficult for people. How about if you are catching your flight and your passport is not ready, your flight abroad, your passport is not ready, and your boss, your employers are waiting for you, and they may even cut your application. If that happens, then we will lose job. They will lose income. And maybe some of us, this is happening to us right now. You have losses, and you struggle to survive. You may be suffering right now due to the consequences of your sin. Yes, you have faith. You once believed God, but right now you are suffering the consequences of your sin. Or maybe you are suffering the consequences of the mistakes you made. At this moment, there is one thing that you really need. You need the grace of faith. And that's my third point today, the grace of faith. Many of us, we are like these Hebrew believers or heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 39 to 40 tells us, these were all commended for their faith. It's like many of us here today. You have faith. Yet, none of them received what had been promised. Since God planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. We need the grace of faith to continue believing God, even though our situations may be unclear, or even if there is no sign of hope. Because 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us, now we see things imperfectly. What is happening to us, we may not understand why this thing is happening to us right now. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. All that you know now is partial and incomplete. But then, I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. One day, you will understand. Your faith may be shaken right now, and you don't understand why. It's so unclear. It is by God's grace that we are saved through faith. And it is this faith that gives us the grace to live through many dangers, toils, and snares of life. Sounds like the song Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. You go through them through the amazing grace of God. We usually sing the song Amazing Grace in funerals, right? But actually, Amazing Grace is a new birth song. It was composed by John Newton in the 18th century when his life was in a mess. And he found God. He found the saving grace of God. And he wrote this song. So, it is not a funeral song, actually. It is a song of a new birth, of a new life in Christ. This faith that we have in Jesus, as he said, believe in God, believe also in me. This faith makes us overcomers and gives us the endurance until we receive the promises of God. The grace of faith
is the experience of God's grace by faith and faith in the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Jesus on the cross made grace abound in us. We have so much grace today because He paid it through His death. 2 Corinthians 12:19 is an assurance to us. This was an assurance to Paul. Paul was praying to God that he said, "Lord, please remove this from me. I don't like them." And God assured them. And so God is assuring us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 tells us, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" What is that grace? That is the grace of faith. Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith, or Faith Hall of Fame, that introduces an impressive list of heroes. But Jesus is our greater hero. Greater than all the heroes mentioned in these heroes of faith. Because he conquered the kingdom of darkness, administered justice by paying the price himself. He secured the promise through his death, shut the mouth of the roaring lion, who is Satan, quenched the fiery darts of the devil's accusations against us by being accused himself when he has no sin. He took the spear of the enemy on his side, and whose death becomes our life, whose weakness and infirmity become our strength. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, mighty in battle, the conqueror, whose resurrection from the grave is the assurance of the better plan of God. One day, through the grace of faith in the work of Christ, all this awaits us. Number one, a most honorable character and commendation from God, who is the true judge and fountain of honor. One day, God will tell you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Today, we often want the commendation of men. We always want to be promoted by men. But God's promotion is far, high far, compared to the promotions of men. We will have the commendation from God. The world considers that the righteous are not worthy to live in the world. That's why the world hates us. And God declares the world is not worthy of them. That's why one day He will take us. Though the righteous and the worldlings widely differ in their judgment, they agree in this, that it is not fit that good men should have their rest in this world. Therefore, God receives them out of it to that world that is suitable to them, and yet far beyond the merit of all their services and sufferings. God will compensate you many, many times. What else awaits you through the grace of faith? A good report of all men and of the truth itself, and have the honor to be enrolled in this sacred calendar of the Testament, of the Old Testament worthies called God's witnesses. You become a righteous witness for God. And thirdly, what awaits those who have the grace of faith? A provision of something better. A provision of something better. Verse 40 reminds us again, God has provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. It is at the very end of the most glorious chapter on faith that the writer explains why his long list of men and women of faith did not receive the promise God made them. He explains here why. Because however wonderful the promises He gave to Israel, God planned to give us and them something even better. These people could not receive the promised inheritance until Christ came. By His death, He made complete salvation possible so that God can accept believers like us as perfect in Him. And then we will enjoy the fulfillment of our faith. The apostle tells the Hebrews that God had provided some better things for them. This better thing is the clear revelation of the promised salvation, the promises of the new covenant which was cut at Calvary, with its victory over sin and death, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and all the privileges that come with our great salvation was secured at the cross. Brothers and sisters, since the gospel is the end and perfection of the Old Testament, it is expected that our faith should be as much more perfect than the faith of the Old Testament saints. How? We have the grace of faith based in the works of Christ on the cross. We can live much better than them. We can have faith that is much stronger than them because of the grace of faith in the works, based on the works of Jesus Christ on the cross. And as our advantages with the better things God has provided for us are so much beyond theirs, so should our obedience of faith, patience of hope, and labor of love be greater. That's why Jesus said, you can do greater things than this because His grace abounds. In conclusion, true faith does not compromise. It is either you believe God or you do not. It is either you trust God or you do not. Some people who walk by faith accept the worst possible situations in their lives as an act of God. Throughout church history, Christians were willing to suffer rather than to deny their Lord. They knew that they had a wonderful future ahead. Faith is a grace that draws from heaven God's providential help in times of need. Faith gives the believer steadfastness during times of pressure. Brethren, we need to hold fast to our faith, the grace of faith. The grace of faith helps us to do great things. It keeps us from having high and great thoughts of ourselves. This grace will put us upon acknowledging God in all our ways and will make us bold and venturous in a good cause. A man who has this grace has recourse unto God in all dangers and difficulties, and then makes grateful returns to God for all mercies and deliverances. A man who has this grace endures to the end, and in dying gives him victory over death and all his deadly enemies. His greatest conquest he gains by dying. The grace of faith is the experience of the grace of God by faith in all our trials and tribulations, and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Shall we just bow our heads?